أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Continuing with our look at Islamic ethics and education and focusing on letter 31 of Nahj al-Balagha that Imam Ali al-Islam writes to his son Imam Hassan al-Islam on his way back from Siffin when he was camped at al-Hadirin. Let's continue and see what Imam tells his son. He tells his son, أحيي قلبك بالموعظة. Enlighten your heart with preaching, with exhortation. وعمته بالزهادة. Kill it by renunciation. وقوه باليقين. Energize it with firm belief. ونوره بالحكمة. Enlighten it with wisdom. وذلله بذكر الموت. Abase it by the remembrance of death. وقرره بالفناء. Make it believe in mortality. وبصره فجائع. Make it see the misfortunes of this world. بجائع الدنيا. وحذره صولة الدهر. وفحش تقلب الليالي والأيام. Make it fear the authority of time and the severity of changes during the nights and days. وعرض عليه أخبار الماضين. Make it aware of the events of the past people. وذكره بما أصاب من كان قبلك من الأولين. Recall to it what befell those who were before you. وسر في ديارهم وآثارهم. Walk amongst their cities and their ruins. فانظر فيما فعلوا وعما انتقلوا. See what they did and from what they have gone away. وأين حلوا ونزلوا. And where they have gone and stayed. فإنك تجدهم قد انتقلوا عن الأحبة وحلوا ديار الغربة. وكأنك عن قليل قد صرت كأهدهم. فأصلح مثواك ولا تبع آخرتك بدنياك. So Imam tells him about looking at history. He said, see what they did, from what they've gone away, where they've gone and stayed. You will find that they left their friends. They remained in loneliness. Shortly you too will be like one of them. Therefore plan for your place of stay and do not sell your akhirah with this world. Again, a continuous exhortation of the temporal nature of life and to plan for the macro picture, for the life that is permanent. So first Imam says, enlighten your heart with exhortation. You know, that is, preaching or exhortation is a discourse which gets people emotionally involved. And it leads a human being through warning him of the consequences of evil doings. We've seen how Suratul Mudathir is an exhortation in itself. You know, in Suratul Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasanati. وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. Call to the way of your Rabb with wisdom and goodly exhortation and have debates with them in the best manner. Your Rabb best knows those who go astray from his path and he knows best those who follow the right way. You know, exhortation is warning. Hikmah is training. Exhortation is to awaken. Wisdom is to struggle against ignorance. Exhortation is a struggle against negligence. It relies on hearts and emotion. It reminds. It opens the eyes to see better. It's good to attend talks. It's good to listen to talks. There's always something that you will take back from listening to someone. You know, there was a person who came to Imam Ali al-Islam and asked him for an exhortation, for a sermon. And Imam says, don't be one of those who wait for the prosperity in the other world without having good deeds here. He says, they leave repentance with long wishes. They talk about the world like monks, but they behave like worldly people. They will not be satisfied with anything they get and will not be convinced if they do get anything. They're unable to thank God for what they have. They ask for more. They forbid other people from doing wrong, but they carry on doing evil. They love good doers, but they don't do good deeds themselves. They consider sinners as their enemies, but they're amongst the sinners. And because of the bulk of their sins, they hate death. But they will carry on living, doing wrong all the time. If they fall ill, they regret. If they're healthy, they feel secure. When they're healthy, they're proud. When they're entangled, they're desperate. If they're inflicted with disaster, they pray to God like the wretched ones. If they're affluent, they shun God. This is the exhortation Imam gave. Their egos force them to carry out what they assume to be right, but they put aside the affairs of the hereafter. They're sorry for those who perform smaller sins than their own, but they're more hopeful for themselves. If they're affluent, they're proud. If they're poor, they lose hope. They're lazy in action. They exaggerate in questioning. When confronted with a lust, something desirous, they put sin in front and they postpone repenting. If they're inflicted by a disaster, they will lose patience. They will describe to you how to take advice, but they don't take lessons. They put a lot of energy in the mortal life, but they delay the hereafter. They fear death, but they miss the opportunities. They consider big the small sins of others, but nothing of their own big sins. So important to understand these exhortations, and these are from Nahjul Balagha. This is the Hikmah, or the sermon number 150. Read, get a copy of Nahjul Balagha, see the exhortation that Imam gives in this. And the best exhortations is the Quran. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّ بِعَذِكُمْ بِهِ. Allah admonishes you with excellence. Imam Ali emphasizes that. He says, Allah has not preached to anybody with words like those that appear in the Quran. The second thing that we should take as admonition is death. Death in itself. The Prophet says, كَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ وَعِذَا. Death in itself is enough as an exhortation. So the second thing is death. The third thing is time. If you just think of how time is going, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the world gives you the best pieces of advice on condition that you take lessons from the separation that it brings about. Time is an amazing, amazing teacher. Experiences are another thing that serve as exhortations. Again, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, it's the best agent for teaching rules of ethic, the best source of advice for the wise, the best advice and the best source is experience. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ya yuldaqul mu'minu min hujrin marratayn." A believer will not get bitten twice from the same hole. So immediately, the first thing is to awaken ourselves. Attend classes, attend talks, listen to them. Then Imam tells him, "Wa amithu bizzahada." That means kill your lower desires with zuhd, with abstention. But it's not abstention meaning to abandon things completely. It means by being able to balance them. You know, the wife of Uthman ibn Maldhun once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about her husband. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, my husband fasts during the day and stays up in prayer during the night. I don't see him at all." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Uthman and said, "Hello. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not appoint me to indoctrinate a system where you become like a monk. He asked me, he appointed me to preach about an easy and moderate religion." He said, "I fast, I pray, I spend time with my family. Anybody who loves my religion should behave as I do. Marriage is amongst my sunnah." So the zuhud is not the sort of zuhud that we think about when people go to a total extreme. There's another incident where three women came to see the Prophet. One said her husband has refused to eat meat. The second said that her husband did not use perfumes. And the third said that her husband did not spend any quality time with her. Upon hearing this, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hurried to the mosque. And after praising Allah, he said, "Why have some of my friends gone to the extent of abandoning meat, not using perfume, and not having any intimate relationships with their wives? I eat meat, I use perfumes, and I share intimate moments with my wife. Anybody who does not follow me does not belong to me." But to be able to have time management, to find the right time, and to practice abstention from that which takes us away from reality. الإمام تشارلز إنسان. He says وقوه باليقين. Enliven or rather energize your heart. Empower your heart with firm belief or with assurance. Belief, amn in essence, yaqeen, certainty, is a decisive, stable mental state where you're absolutely sure. It's a conviction that is very, very important. Imam Ridha alayhi salam says it's a capital which is given only to a few people. It's one degree above Islam, he says. الإيمان فوق الإسلام بدرجتي والتقوى فوق الإيمان بدرجتي واليقين فوق التقوى بدرجتي ولم يقسم بين العباد شيئا أقل من اليقين. He says conviction is a degree higher than God consciousness. Nothing less than conviction is given out amongst the believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the actions based of conviction before Allah, small number of actions based on yaqeen, is far better than a large number of actions without any conviction at all. You know, conviction has degrees, and maybe the best surah to look at is Surah Al-Takathur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about, first he's talking about the knowledge of certainty, then he's talking about the eye of certainty. Certainty has stages. Ilmul yaqeen is based on reason. Then you have ainul yaqeen, which is derived by observing a thing. And then finally haqqul yaqeen, which is certain truth. It's just like a child. If you told a child about fire and said this is what fire looks like and drew fire, the child is overawed by your description. And then you show a child fire, and now it's Ainul Yaqeen, he's actually seen it. But the truth of the heat of the fire is only felt if you were to even go near the fire and feel its warmth. That's Haqqul Yaqeen. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, At-taqwa thamaratu deen wa amaratu al-yaqeen. Taqwa is the result of Iman and the sign of assurance. Rasulullah ﷺ gives 6 signs for a person who has conviction or certainty. He said, one, he is assured of Allah, thus believes in Him. He is assured that death is inevitable, thus he is ready for it. He believes in the resurrection, therefore he is worried about that day. He is certain that Jannah is right, therefore he wants to go there. He is positive about Jahannam, therefore he avoids it. And finally, he knows that everybody is accountable on the day of Qiyamah, and therefore he is careful about his or her affairs. It's amazing. Even sabr, Imam Ali alayhi salam, as-sabru thamaratul yaqeen. Even sabr is the result of assurance. He says, Silahul mu'min as-sabru ala al-bala'i wa shukru fi al-raqa. The weapon of a mu'min is patience before disasters and thankful at the time of comfort. All emancipating from yaqeen. And that's how you energize. This is what Imam says, he tells him. Energize or enliven your heart with this firm belief, with this certainty in what you are. And a lot of it is collected to self-esteem, which we looked at when we were doing Tarbiyat al-Awlad, or the upbringing of children. Then Imam tells him, وَنَّوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Enlighten it with wisdom. But what is wisdom? Wisdom means to arrive at righteousness by science and reasoning, in the same way that a horse is made tame by giving it a bridle. A human being acquires wisdom by arriving through reasoning and the practice of the reasoning. And maybe it's one of the most beautiful instances in the Quran is given with Hazrat Luqman. And in Surah Luqman, Ayah 12, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. And indeed, we gave Luqman hikmah. So let's look at what the Quran and the Hadith talk about wisdom or hikmah. First of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-hikmatu zalatul mu'min, fatlabuha walau inda al-mushrik takunu aqa biha wa ahlaha. Wisdom is this lost thing of a believer. Get it from anyone, atheist or anyone, or mushrik, because you deserve it more than others. Wherever you can find it, you are worthy of it. He also said wisdom is the sought item for the believer. Wherever he will find it, he will grasp it. So here we see that it is a reception of truth and a realistic insight that we need to hold on to. And maybe if we're trying to illustrate hikmah, let's look at the life of Prophet Luqman alayhi salam. Well, we're not sure whether he was a prophet. Most historians believe that he was a very noble man. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named a whole surah after him. And he was from Nubay, which is the northern part of Sudan between Ethiopia and Egypt. He lived at the time of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And because of his noble thoughts, Allah gives him the highest degree of wisdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I rightfully say that Luqman was not a prophet, but a thoughtful, obedient subject of Allah, strong faith with assurance. He loved God; God loved him too. That is why he received the asset of wisdom." Luqman was one day sleeping when he suddenly heard, "O Luqman, do you want to be God's representative on earth so you may judge amongst people?" And he said, "If I'm given the option, I do not want to accept such a huge responsibility. But if I'm ordered to do so, I will wholeheartedly accept it, because I know if I accept such a task, he will help me and not to go astray." Look at the certainty coming through. So the angel asks him, they say, "Why?" So he said, "It's the most hazardous job to judge amongst people, and it's a formidable job. Only if one is protected by God is one salvaged. And if he does not go on the right path, he will lose the way to Jannah." He said, "A person who is ashamed here but raises his head in the hereafter is better than a person who keeps his head high here but is ashamed in the hereafter." He says, "A man who sells the hereafter to this world will have nothing, will be neither here nor there." And the angels were surprised at his reasoning. Luqman said this and fell asleep, and Allah puts the spark of wisdom in his heart. When he awakes, he talks wisely. And you know what Prophet Dawood tells him? He says, "Luqman, I envy you because you have passed your test." And maybe we take an example of how he admonishes his son. He tells his son, again Surah Luqman, ayah 13, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٍ أَظِيمٍ. "O my son, do not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a great injustice." He tells him, If you do something which is the very weight of the grain of a mustard seed, even if it is in the heart of a rock, or high in the heavens, or deep down in the earth, Allah will bring it to light. Allah is the knower of subtleties, He is aware. He tells his son, "O my son, keep up prayer, enjoin good, forbid evil. Bear patiently that which befalls you, because these acts require courage. Do not turn your face away from people in contempt, nor go about the land exulting. Allah does not love any self-conceived boaster. Pursue the right course in your going about and lower your voice. The most hateful of voices is the braying of donkeys." By the advice, we can see his wisdom shining through. Read these ayat. They're from ayah 13 onwards. I think it goes up to about ayah 19 in Surah Al-Luqman. There are many other aspects of Surah Al-Luqman and about his wisdom. And inshallah, we will look at those and continue from where we left off. And we've only looked at about three aspects of the extract that I read at the beginning of the talk.